We are recording. So we are in story, we are dealing with the aftermath of the Civil War, the end of Sefer Shmuel Bet. David wins, Avshalom is dead, and David's got to pull the pieces back together. He has been invited to return to the Malchut. He has not been king, we're estimating for 6 months, but the text doesn't specifically say, but now both Yehuda and Yisrael have said, we want you back. And he's been in contact with both of them. And now, but right now he's in Machanaim, which is in the middle of nowhere, far north of the east bank of the Jordan, somewhere in modern Jordan. So the text continues. Vayashav HaMelech, he returns, and it's not clear where he's returning from, but Vayavo Ad Yarden, and he comes down with his entourage, the people who remained loyal to him, down to the Jordan. Yehuda Baha Gilgala, and the people of Yehuda, where representation they had from Yehuda, comes to Gilgal, which is on the west side of the Jordan. That was where Bnei Israel crossed over when they first came in. So clearly this is an appropriate ford of the Jordan River here. So
Did they come in near Jericho?
Yes.
So I've been there. Famous. The non-Jews always make these places famous.
To Gilgal?
Yeah. Not on the Gilgal side, but on the Jordan side, there's a church and a mosque.
Oh, okay. I don't know if that's where David was, at the church and the mosque, but...
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, where supposedly the children of Israel crossed into Israel also.
Okay, yeah. So that's basically where he is right now. So north of the north of the Dead Sea. So Yehuda Baal Gugal Lechet Likrat HaMelech. They all go, however many representatives of Yehuda come, to greet the king, Lavir HaMelech Yerdain, to bring him over with a grand ceremony, bring him over the Jordan. And so therefore, Yehuda is coming, so now Yisrael's got to come. Right? They're all jockeying with each other. Who's the best people of David? And we have a couple of lists of names here, which we don't have for Yehuda. Vayimaher Shimi ben Gera, ben Hayimini, and Shimi ben Gera, who's from Binyamin, Asher Bachurim, who's in Bachurim, and we recognize that name. Everyone remember that name? If not, we'll go back and we'll see where we know him from. Vayered im Ish Yehuda, and he goes down. So he's from Binyamin, which is part of Israel. Binyamin is part of the northern, it's not a separate kingdom, no northern part of the country at this point. Right? They don't join Yehuda until later. Yehuda, and he goes with Yehuda Likrat HaMelech David to greet David. Ve'elech ishimo b'Binyamin, and he's got 1,000 other Binyaminites with him. V'tziva nar b'et Shaul, and Tziva, who was the steward of the house of Shaul, and we remember him. V'chamesh asar banav, with his 15 children, v'esrim abadav, and his 20 servants. V'tzalchu hayardin l'fnei HaMelech, and they, tzalach, which Musa Tzion says means Avru, first three. But Yitzhak is Avru. Mato is Batislacha Lavruacho Hashem.
Is that the modern word for surfing the web?
Is that? I don't know. Dana, you're the modern Hebrew expert.
Do you know? I think it's spelled different. To Slilach, I think, has a samach in it.
Oh.
We're going to look this up. I am curious.
Look it up. Let's see if I don't think it is, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe there's a fey in the word. Fit was fey.
In the surfing one?
Oh no, that's in surf.
Galush bereshet? I don't know. Galush, is that
something? Yeah,
yeah. Sorry.
What? I don't know. But my point is that the word litzloach really means to be victorious. It means to overcome. It's not just to say, but it's a
to be successful.
Right. So the sense of Baitzlach HaYarden L'fnei HaMelech isn't so much they crossed the Jordan to go greet the king. They overwhelmed the Jordan, right? The whole crowd just runs into the river because they're all so eager, right? Everyone's eager to bring David back. They're eager to appear eager to bring David back at this point, right? They've just been this is like the French resistance after World War II. Everybody was in the resistance. Nobody who I worked with the Germans at that point. right? I mean, that everyone here is just, they love David. We are all running to go greet you. We were loyal to you the whole time.
By the way, I have to say, Danny, now we and Rabbi Shulman and we are at the same place almost.
He's catching up. Right? He is, I mean, he still has to get through Bathsheba. So that's
right,
going to be a
while. We did do a whole thing about the people going out to meet David when he came back.
Okay. So I haven't heard that yet. Like I said, I'm definitely going in a different direction than he is, because you should listen to Rabbi Shulman's shiurim. You don't need me to tell you what Rabbi Shulman's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we're looking at this the same way, but I'm looking at
this. For a long time we were behind because we were doing Tehillim and stuff. Or we were ahead, I think.
We are ahead, right. We're still pretty far ahead. He's only in Perek Yud, and we're at Perek Yud Tet. We'll see if he catches up. We're doing Tehillim as well. So we have the story of what's happening. So they by Yitzchak, who are you? Now all the Binyamin and Yehuda are all, they overwhelm the Jordan. They're going to go greet David. As they come up, right? The crossing cross to cross. A paliptoton is the poetic term for that. When we use the same word over and over again in different senses. Right? They cross in order to cross the king over. Lasod hatov be'eino, and they want, and the text says, they cross over in order to lasod hatov be'eino, to do what was good in his eyes. That's the main thing here. That is now one, they want to make sure that nobody gets killed for rebelling against him. And here's an example, Shimi ben Gera, nafal lefnei ha-melech ba'avro ha-biyarden, and Shimi ben Gera falls in front of the king. Who is Shimi ben Gera? He was the one from Bahurim, one of the people from Binyamin, who, as David is running away, when this all started, is cursing him out. Here's a story back from Perek Tet Zayin, so 4 prakim ago. David avar ma'at me'arosh. David had gone down a little bit from Har HaZeitim as he's running away from Yerushalayim. V'nei tziva na'ar b'pagosha l'kratel. So here's the first thing where tziva comes. Remember we had that, but both Tziva and Shimi are coming now afterwards. Tziva is the servant of Mephibosheth, who's the son of Yehonatan, who's the son of Shaul. Remember, got their scorecard straight. But Semed Hamarim Chavoshim, and Tziva is leading a team of donkeys with saddles, Umalahem Matayim Lechem, and they are carrying 200 loaves of bread, Umeyash Mukim, and 100 measures, but how much bags of raisins, Jumeah, Kayats, and 100 bags of summer fruit, Benevel Yayin, and a wineskin, or perhaps also 100 wineskins. So he's bringing these donkeys laden with food. Remember Melech and Siba. So the king asks Siba, and again, king is running away right now, Ma Elalach, what's the deal with these things? Remember Siba, and Siba says, Achamrim Lubeit HaMelech, Durkobo. I brought the donkeys so your household can ride on them. David had run away on foot. And all the bread and fruit are there so that your people can eat. And the wine is so that the exhausted ones can drink as you're in the wilderness. So David immediately asks, where is the son of your master? Remember that. David had supported Mephibosheth, had not allowed him to be killed. Mephibosheth is in Yerushalayim. He is the last remaining survivor of the line of Saul. And he was in Yerushalayim. And now David's on the run in the middle of a rebellion. And Tziva comes, and Mephibosheth is not. So David is very suspicious. So Tziva tells the king, Hine Yoshev Yerushalayim. No, Mephibosheth stayed back in Yerushalayim. He amar, because he said, Hayom Yeshivu Li B'Beit Yisrael et Mamalchut Avi. Now, Mephibosheth figures that in the middle of the civil war, they'll fight each other and I will be able to return to my rightful place as king of Israel. I should be king of Israel. Tziva tells David, Mephibosheth is betraying you. He's just going to stay back, wait until the civil war is over, and then come and pick up the pieces. Noah Melch Litzivas.
Danny, that's what you call a turncoat.
That is a turncoat. Okay, spoiler alert. Tibbet is lying. You don't know that now, but we'll see. Okay, just.
What about the wine?
Tiva is lying about Mephibosheth.
So didn't we do this?
Yeah. This is Paratet Zion. I'm going back so you know who Tiva is. So now at the end of the war, Tiva is coming back because he's going to be a character here. Because Tiva and Mephibosheth will come back to us. I'm just doing this.
And after Mephibosheth was killed.
No, we haven't seen Mephibosheth. Ishbosheth was killed, was the son of Shaul. Ishbosheth is the son of Shaul.
Who's the one with the limp?
Mephibosheth. That's this one. That's the grandson of Shaul. Yonatan's son is...
Oh, you know, Janet, I'm mixing this up with Rabbi Shulman's quest.
Okay, right, we got too many. Very close.
Right.
And
okay.
just to make it more confusing... There's another Mephibosheth who is Shaul's son by his concubine.
That's not we did the big Mephibosheth with Rabbi Shulman, who really presented it as a major turning point in David's career. Okay.
Are you talking about the lame Mephibosheth in Perek Tet?
I mean, this is...
Yes,
this
I suspect that...
This is Jonathan's son.
Yes, this is Jonathan's son. So I suspect that he portrayed David's treatment of Mephibosheth in a positive light. Did not. Okay. So we'll. Okay. So I didn't hear what he said. So we'll see how I'm going to present it here, because this is going to be the. So you're seeing two sides of the same story. So you're seeing the beginning. This is the beginning of Mephibosheth is Perek Tet. This is Perek Tet Zion. Later than that, when during the rebellion, where Tziva, who is Mephibosheth's servant, says, Mephibosheth has betrayed you. David doesn't know anything. David's on the run. He says, okay, so Tziva says, Mephibosheth has betrayed you. He's waiting until he can take over when you and Avshalom kill each other off. So Vayomer HaMelech LeTziva. So the king says, Tziva, Hinei Lecha Kol Asher LeMephibosheth. I am now declaring a bill of attainder against Mephibosheth. He's a non-person. Everything that he owned, the entire estate of Shaul, which I had previously given to Mephibosheth, it's now yours, Tziva. Vimer Tziva Hishtachaviti. Tziva says, I bow down, Emzachem, Beinecha, Nimelech, for I have found favor in your eyes. Thank you, O King. That's the story of Tziva. In the beginning. That keeps track of it. Yeah, Perek Tet Zion.
David acts very rashly there, taking this guy's side before he even talks to the other guy.
Right. That is true. That is exactly where we're going to talk about later. Now, certainly that is suspicious, right? He's just been betrayed. He's in the middle of running away. So it may be a reasonable thing for him to assume that now that everyone's out to get him, because even paranoids have enemies. Okay. So then, second part of this story, as David's running away, David at Bachurim. David is moving and he comes to Bachurim, which is about halfway to the Jordan in the middle of Binyamin. And there's a person coming out from the family of Shaul, Ushmo Shimi ben Gera. If you remember the Megillah and you're paying attention, Mordechai is Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish, Ishimini. And the Gemara says that the ben Shimi is this Shimi here. So he's not literally the grandson of, but the descendant of Shimi, and Kish is Shaul's father. So Shimi here presumably is Shaul's cousin. If he's Shimi ben Gera ben Kish, and Shaul's first cousin once removed, right? Shaul is Shaul ben Kish. This is for the family of Shaul. Yotso Makala. He was going out continually and cursing David as the line of refugees is going through the hills of Binyamin. Shimi is staying there and cursing at them. And he's telling them how you deserve all this. You're Ish Damim, a man of blood. And he's throwing rocks at David as they're going. And he's throwing rocks at David the whole time. And this is the point where B'nai Tzruya, Abishai ben Tzruya wants to go kill Shimi, and David says, don't do it. I deserve all this. Maybe this will be my kapara. So that was before. So now Shimi and Tziva are coming to greet David as David is victorious. So Shimi knows he's toast. So this is Shimi going to the king. Vayomer al HaMelech. So Shimi ben Gera begs for forgiveness. Tells the king, Al yechshav li adoni avon. Please do not remember my sin. You know, I know I was cursing you and throwing rocks at you. Al tizkor et asher avav dafan. Don't do the terrible thing that your servant did. Yom asher yetzah adoni HaMelech. I just keep saying adoni HaMelech, right? You're my king. Don't remember the thing that I did when you left Mir Shalayim. Vasu HaMelech el libo. Please don't pay attention to any of that. Please don't kill me. Because I acknowledge, I know that I have sinned. So I am the first one to come to you and welcome you back. The whole house of Yosef. And notice he called himself Bet Yosef. He's from Binyamin, but he identifies with Yosef. The northern part of the kingdom, what we call Israel, was dominated by Menashe and Ephraim. They were called Yosef, identified as Yosef. Binyamin is part of Yosef. And they were important. They were the most important part, just because Shaul was from Binyamin, so he was the king. So that was their king, as Mitzvah David said. The whole Beit Yosef means Kol Yisrael Kruim Beit Yosef. Israel was called Beit Yosef, and it will continue to be called that. Again, we still have this split between Yehuda and Israel. She says, "I was the first from all of Yosef, from the northern kingdom, Loredet Lekrat Adoni HaMelech. I was the first one to come down to greet you, O King." So. Avishai ben Shuria, who we know is like Yoav, his brother, they're David's enforcers. They like solving problems by stabbing them until they stop being a problem, which works. So, Vayan Avishai ben Shuria, Avishai answers, Vayomar hatachat zot loimut Shimi, shouldn't Shimi die for this? Let me go take him. He killed Mashiach Hashem, he cursed out the anointed one of God. Vayomer David. So David tells back to Avishai, Ma liv lachem b'nei Tzruya. What is the deal with between you and me, O children of Tzruya? Ki tiyu li hayom l'satan. Because you are going to be an adversary, an accuser for me today. Hayom yamut ish b'Yisrael. Do you think today anyone from Israel should die? Yelo yadati, don't I know? Hayom ani melech al Yisrael. Today, I am the king over Israel. We're not going to kill anybody today. King says to me, you will not die. And the king swore he would not harm Shimi ben Gera. And he wants that reconciliation, right? He keeps saying this. He repeats this word hayom, right? Today is the day that we're trying to get everybody back together again. We're going to have to forgive. We're going to have to let bygones be bygones. It's okay. Where the Mitzvah David puts it, Mali v'lachem. David says, "What is between you and me, Avishai? You keep wanting to kill things." Ratzolamah. What are you saying? Is there any hatred between us? We're family. We're friends. You're my most loyal generals. Ma'asitem li u'ma'asiti lachem. What did you do to me? What did I do to you that we should be in this disagreement? Asher tiu li hayom l'satan u'mekatred. That you're going to be the accused, the satan. You're going to make things worse. You're going to cause us all to, you're trying to tempt me into sinning here. That's what a satan is. I'm going to lose the kingdom, right? I am now melech, hayom I'm melech b'Yisrael, but that's very tenuous. I start killing people, then we're going to end up back where we started from. Another civil war. And another spoiler alert, that's exactly what happens next paragraph. So hu ki'ilu hayom haita hatchalat malchuti. Because today is basically the beginning of my malchut. We're starting all over from scratch. But in a combo, and if I try to take revenge against him, kulam yachashbu, then everyone else is going to think, she'akach mehem nekam, then I'm going to take revenge against everyone else. Everyone has rebelled against me. And they're going to abandon me as king. We need a truth and reconciliation commission, not a vengeance and destruction commission here. We need to bring the people back together. And in a literary sense, I'm talking about the fact that this section of Sefer Shmuel is all about his sin and his tshuva. This is David demonstrating the power of tshuva. Shimi has done tshuva. He says chatati, and David is saying, "Okay, we let bygones be bygones." This is the way the I have no idea who Chacham Yitzchak Bechar David is, quoting the Mishpat Zaha, but I like the way he said it. Well, Zed Amar David Labishai, and this is what David meant when he said Labishai. Ma liv lachem b'nei tzriya, ki hiu li hayom b'satan. That today you're going to be the Satan, the tempter, the adversary, Satan, as Dana Carvey would put it. Is it Satan? Nobody remembers Saturday Night Live. If I do not accept Shimi's tshuva today, and everyone will see what I've done and will learn the power of tshuva. Again, taking this as a in a literary sense, this is a sefer nevuah that we're reading here. And this is demonstrating the power of tshuva. When I accept this from him, that the story is written, that he does this terrible thing, and I say, he asked for forgiveness, and I forgive him. That if I don't accept his tshuva, then my tefillah, that I'm davening, see, kablani b'tshuva, that my tshuva, what happened with Bathsheba, to be accepted. Kadeshim many yomadu kol Yisrael, and that everyone's going to see my tshuva, and they'll learn that the power of tshuva, the Gemara says that that's what the story is here for. Any makabela. If I don't accept his tshuva, then Hashem's not going to accept my tshuva. That's what Mida Kenegin Mida means.
But Shiva's not for years to come.
No. It was a long time ago.
But Shiva was before this?
Yeah, remember, we're at the end. You're confusing with Rabbi Shulman. We already did, right. This is after Avshalom was a consequence of Amnon, was a consequence of Bathsheba.
Oh, right. We're sorry.
30
sorry.
Years after Bathsheba.
Yeah.
20 years after Bathsheba at this point. Okay? Bathsheba was 10 years after David becomes king. This already is almost the end. This is 30 years after he becomes king, right? We've gotten to this point. This whole story of his, you know, losing his son is part of the consequences of Bathsheba. So he's basically saying that I want my tshuva to be accepted. I said chatati, and Hashem said, you're not going to die. But Shimi ben Gera says chatati, I can't kill him, because that would be exactly the wrong answer, and then Hashem is not going to revoke my tshuva. He called me the tav shel kadosh baruch hu mida k'neged mida. If that's what Hashem does, mida k'neged mida, right? That we determine how we're judged by how we judge others. Nimsa shatem satan. So now you're acting like the satan on Rosh Hashanah, right? You are the tempter, the adversary here. You're trying to tempt me into sinning here, right? Because Manakila Shimi is not thinking about Shimi. This is about me. This is telling me how I judge myself. Just like when Nathan came to me as Bathsheba and he told me the story about the poor man and the rich man, and I said that rich man's got to die. And Nathan said, Atahaish. David's saying here, Atahaish, the same thing. This is my behavior determines what happens to me. The attempts lead the Satan, Shaloh Yechaper li HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if I listen to you, that Hashem won't forgive me. The opposite is true. If I accept Shimi's tshuva, even though he cursed me these terrible curses, he rocks at me, and if I swear to him that he will not die, Yisrael, so there, from this, all of Israel will see, and they will ask forgiveness from me, and I will forgive them. You're going back to the real politics side of it. I'll forgive them. Hashem will forgive me. Hello, ani yadati ki yom ani mel. So now I am. I'm saying today is the day I'm become king. So geshem shkibalti l'shimi upitchuli petach shel tshuva petachti lo petach shel tshuva. Just like I accept Shimi's tshuva here, kachadosh baruch hu mochali, Hashem will forgive me. But no more moret tshuva liyachid. And I will teach the power of tshuva for the individual. K'mash katuv chazal, that Gemara and the Sanhedrin says that's what this story teaches us, the power of tshuva. And I will give you that example. Today I can fulfill my destiny of being this model of tshuva. Yes.
So, this is beautiful and heartfelt by David, but you know what strikes me about is that we normally say the way God is merciful, we should be merciful. The way God is just, we should be just. This right. is like flipping it. David is saying the way I'm being nice, God should be nice to me.
Yes. But that concept is always there. I mean, that comes kind of talked about all the time, that we are judged by how we judge others. The idea that we ask on Rosh Hashanah that we should be judged mercifully. And Hashem says, well, how did you look at other people? That is a common thing, theme on Rosh Hashanah, is that we should realize that when we're looking at other people, assume that they're doing the best. Be willing to forgive other people because they weren't trying to be mean to you or anything like that, or they're sincere in their repentance. Believe that. So Hashem can use the same standards that you're using for others, Hashem will use for you.
I think that's a new idea for me.
Okay. And that is a...
It's nice. I love it.
It is. It's an important one. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
And it is a flip. It is not original here. It is commonly said. You should always be willing to forgive other people.
It's nice. It feels new to me. It's funny, isn't it?
Rabbi Fran calls it grading on a curve. You know, like, you're going to come before Hashem and say, look at all these mitzvot I did. I'm a wonderful person. He's going to say, no, you got this detail wrong. No, we're not giving any credit for this mitzvah because you didn't have the right kavana. He'll say, but I tried. And he'll say, well, how did you look at other people? Did you also say, well, they're trying. They didn't mean to be mean. And Hashem will use the same standards that you used to judge you. And this we're looking at this an example of that David needs to forgive Shimi in order for his own tshuva to be valid, to be accepted. So that's part one. So in this little section here, we've got three vignettes of all these people from the past. So here, that's Shimi ben Gera, and the tshuva, that's David, you know, accepting tshuva. Part two, Pasuk Chafei. We had Siva, the servant of Mephibosheth, went to greet David, and now Mephibosheth ben Shaul, Yarad Likrat HaMelech. I mean, now Mephibosheth comes. And it tells us what happened. The text tells Asa Ragla, and he had not literally done his legs. He's lame, and it's not clear exactly what Asa Ragla was. He translated it as, let's see how Sephardia translates it. Didn't trim his toenails, didn't groom himself. Where is it? Here. I'm curious what he says. And here we go. Pared his toenails. But at the very least, it's something, especially someone who is paraplegic, that needs to happen on a regular basis. He didn't take care of his body. And didn't trim his mustache, didn't shave. But begadav lo kibes, and didn't wash his clothing. Just looks like that's gross. But what are all these things of? What are all these signs of? The signs of mourning, right? Didn't haircut, didn't wash, all these things. From the day that the king left, until he came back in peace. So Mephibosheth has been in mourning for the loss of the king through all this time. Now, David doesn't know that. The text is telling us that. But as David knows, Mephibosheth has been waiting for his chance to betray the king. But he kiba Yerushalayim likrat HaMelech. And so here comes, this is from Yerushalayim to greet the king. So the king sees Mephibosheth there, and he knows that Mephibosheth has betrayed him. Knows in quotes. Lama lo halachti Mephibosheth. So you immediately accuse him, why didn't you come? Why did you join me? Why did you stay behind with Absalom? Adonai HaMelech. So Mephibosheth says, oh, my lord the king, avadi rimani. My servant fooled me. He conned me. He lied to me. Ki amar, as he said, ki amar avdecha, because your servant, I said, avach sheval li hachamor, go, let me get my donkey saddled, verkavala, so I can ride on it, and I will go join the king. Because I, your servant, am lame. I need to get my donkey set. I can't just walk out with you. So that's what I told Tziva, go get the donkey. I'm going to go join David. Ragel ba'abadecha. And so Tziva literally, Ragel, in the sense not of spy, but of said Lashon Hara about me. he slandered me to the king.
A little pun there in the word Vayiragel.
That's interesting. Okay, he was the Raglayim, right? So I told Tziva, go to the donkeys, get it saddled up, and we'll bring all this food. And so he got the donkey saddled up, brought the food, and then ran off. And then I am standing at the window watching him leave with all of my stuff. And I've got, he took the car. I can't go anywhere. So I've been waiting for you. And you, my king, are like an angel of the Lord. Everything you do is perfect. You do what is good in your eyes. I mean, I can't prove what I was thinking. You have to make the judgment. Because my whole family were dead men walking before you. You could have had all of us killed. And I found favor in your eyes. You set me as one of those who would eat at your table. You saved me. I can't complain. I have no place to ask for any more charity. I can't complain. I fall before you. I've got to. You can judge what you want. I really didn't betray you. So again, we now hear the text tells us that David was not Mephibosheth was not looking for David to fall. He was mourning it, and Ziba was lying about the story here. Again, David doesn't know that. We just have he has said and he said. So what does David do? Yomer lo hamelach. The king said back to Mephibosheth, "Lamata b'daber od devaracha. Why do you keep talking to me?" It's a little bit harsh, but look at that. Amarti, I have said, and so it is, I have declared, Atavit Siva techalku asadeh. You and Siva will divide up the estate. Now, don't worry about it. He can take everything. I know the king is safe, that's all I want to hear. If you want to give everything to Siva, that's fine. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We all know that. So, the halach, I'm sorry, hold on a second. She said she's leaving. What? She's gonna take my keys. Which car is it? I replaced the battery. Sorry, I failed me to think. Problem with Zoom. Okay. So halachically, I don't know who's telling the truth. Everyone claims something. The answer is yachloku, they should divide it. We have that the first Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Everyone, we know this Mishnah, Shnayim Oksin Batalit. Two people are both holding the same cloak. Zemar Zemanimatia, Zemar Nimatia. One says I found it, the other one says I found it, or Zemar Kula Shali. One says this is mine, Zemar Kula Shali, the other one says no, this is mine. Zei Shavash en lo bapachot michatia. So we make them swear, but only swear on half it. So nobody's. We don't make anybody actually lie that we swear. I deserve at least half. David Yishavash Ein Lo Baba Pachot Mechetzia. The other one swears, no, I own at least half of it. The Yachogo, they split it in half. General principle, we don't take it away, we just split the whole thing, that's fine. And then we know the story from the Shlomo and the baby. And again, that's, the story in Malachi was written much after this story here. But anyone who's reading the story, Malachim knows the story here, or presumably is familiar with it. So actually, the story in Shlomo is subverted, where he says, split it. And then the real mother says, no, let the other one take the whole thing. That's his looking with the wisdom there. That's not what's happening here. I mean, we're assuming Mephibosheth isn't so dedicated to keeping the estate whole that he'll say, oh, no, better that he should have the whole thing than we should split it. He's just saying, okay, no, I love you, king, so much, you decide what you want to do. So that understanding what happens with Shlomo's story sort of needs this as the normative background. This is the normal law in order to make sense of that one.
So why does Mephibosheth give up his half?
That's a good question. We are going to spend some time looking at Mephibosheth and what he's saying over here. Now, at first glance, This is simply his expression of how much he loves Debbie. I don't care what happens to all the money. That's fine. I'm just glad I shared. But I don't need Hamelach b'shalom beito. I am so glad that you have come in peace. That's all I'm interested in seeing. That's very happy. Let's keep it that. If we look too close, things get a little more muddy. We will continue on. So that's the story of Tziva Mipiboshet and the Chlokos Adad. We're going to divide the king. We're going to divide the estate of Shaul. Truly, there's a significant amount of money there. Next story is Barzillai HaGiladi. Right, we're going to see Barzillai HaGiladi is one of the people in the Gilad on the east side of the Jordan who helped David. And this is the story. This is going back to the past. This is a flashback, so everyone keep track of their time. This is Perek Yud Zayin. Two prakim ago.
Yanni, what's Barzal? Iron?
I guess that's what I didn't think about what it means. Yeah, his name was Barzillai. I guess his parents named him Iron Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the first Iron Man.
Yeah, so he's Iron Man. Okay. He comes in with a little suit and a nuclear powered artificial heart. Okay, so back when David was on the run. He crosses the Jordan and he runs to Machanayim in the northeast of the Gilad, in the east of the Jordan. Vayigavo David Machanayim. It's when David came to Machanayim. Ushvi ben Nachash, Mirabah ben Ammon, and we have a list of names here. This Shvi ben Nachash. Nachash was the king of Ammon. His son comes from Ammon, Umachir ben Amiel, Melodavar, and Machir, who's from Melodavar. This was the person who was hiding Mipiboshet when they were afraid that David was going to have everybody killed. Ubarzilai HaGiladi, that's what we're looking at, Miraglayim from the city of Raglayim. Let's see where we are. Roglim. Barzilai HaGiladi comes from Roglim, city of Roglim. And they bring a whole bunch of stuff, Mishkav, they bring bedding, Usafot and pillows, uklei yotzer and tools, v'chitim usarim and wheat and barley, v'kemach v'kali and flour and coarse grain, upul v'adashim and beans, both as whole beans and as pulse, chumus v'kali and roasted beans, v'davash and honey, v'chema and butter, v'tzon and sheep mutton, usafot bakar, which is always translated as cheese, shvot bakar and cheese. All those things, Yigishu David, they brought all these things to David. To all his people so they could eat. Yamru, because they said, Amra Av, because all David's people are starving, Vayef, and tired, Sama, and they're thirsty, Babibar, from running in the wilderness. So they're the ones that support David when he's on the run. So now back in our story. David is coming back. He is being surrounded by all these people who say, how much I love you, David. I never rebelled against you. Or if I did, please forgive me. Barzillai Giladi, Yerad mi Roglim. And so now Barzillai comes from Roglim to greet this. It must be a huge party here on the still on the east side of the Jordan. They haven't crossed over yet with David. And he's going to cross the king to bring the king across the Jordan by Yarden in the Jordan. And we have a note here. Interesting fact, I think David lived in the Iron Age. So David was the border of the Iron and the Bronze Age and the Iron Age. To make that point that the Plishtim had iron technology and the Israelites did not in the time of Shaul. So he's right at the beginning of the Iron Age, right? So the Iron Age, so everyone knew what iron was even in the Bronze Age, but they didn't know how to get iron from iron ore. So that any iron you had was all meteoric. From meteors. You had rocks that were iron, you can use that, and that's wonderful, but it was expensive. So I find that's the other thing fascinating, that once they figured out how to get iron out of iron ore, then iron is like the most common element in the crust, and everybody's got iron, it's cheap. Same is true of aluminum, by the way. That aluminum, when it was first discovered, was incredibly rare, incredibly valuable. Some of the crown jewels of England are made out of aluminum. And then, I forget the guy's name, we figured out how to get aluminum from bauxite, aluminum ore, and then it became the cheapest metal. and we can make foil out of it and wrap our kugels in it. So at this point, iron is just becoming a usable thing. So maybe that's what he made his money on. I don't know. He's a rich guy. Barzillai Gilead D. He made his money selling iron. Could be. But he comes down to Roglim to greet the king at the end of when the king is finally back. Barzillai Zaken Ma'od. And Barzillai was really old. Ben Shmonim Shana, 80 years old. Which to me, it's Zaken, but it's not Zaken Ma'od for me anymore. Okay. It's in shooting distance there. But at least it's described as very old. Who killed Kelta Melch? And he had provided for the king, Bishivto Machanaim, when he was living in Machanaim. We quoted that inside. Ish Gadol Hu Ma'od, because he was a very, not literally big man, he was a great man. He was really rich and could afford to do this. Again, maybe that's connected to his barzel. I don't know. But he was there, Ish Gadol Ma'od, and he supported David in all the time that David was in Machanaim. The king says to Barzillai, "Ata averiti, you should cross over with me. And I will provide for you. Right, you provide for me. I will provide for you in Yerushalayim. You can come back to me with Yerushalayim. I'm going to be king. We'll provide for you." So Barzillai tells it to the king. And Phil Shapiro asks us, "Was Don Corleone strong in the name Barzillai?" I do not know. I thought it was his consigliere was Tom, but like the non-Italian one. I don't.
Tom was his lawyer, a good lawyer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I think his bodyguard. Anyway.
Right. So Barzillai here is not the strong man. Barzillai is the Don. He is the rich man who's providing for everybody else.
Okay.
So now David's saying, you were good to me. I'm going to be good to you. You can come join me in my palace in Yerushalayim, and you can live the rich life here in the big city. Why are you stuck out here in Roglim, in the middle of nowhere? No. And David Hirshhorn, who knows everything, says it's Barzini. Okay. I don't think it's a biblical reference. So here's what Barzillai answers. By Yomer Barzillai Elam Melech. So Barzillai.
I think it's a pasta reference. Just kidding.
Right. The power of Google. Okay. Very. So this is Barzillai's answer. Barzillai Melech. Kama yinei shenei chayai. How much longer do I have to live? Ki ale elam melech Yerushalayim. That I should go with you back to Yerushalayim. Ben Shmona, Shonim Shana Anochi Hayom. I'm 80 years old today. Heida ben Tov Lara. I don't know the difference between good and bad. Not in the sense of good and evil, but of enjoying fine things, is what he's saying. Because Im Yitam Avdecha El Asher Echol. Because I can't taste anything that I'm eating anymore. Asher Ashtad, my drinking. I'm not going to enjoy living the life of luxury in Yerushalayim. I wouldn't appreciate that stuff anymore. I don't know if that's true when you're 80, you don't appreciate fine things, you lose that sense of taste. But that's what he's saying. I can't tell the difference between good wine and bad wine at this point. It just doesn't matter to me. I'm going to sit there and listen to all the singers in Yerushalayim. Why should I be a burden on you? And if I just right now, in a moment, cross the Jordan with you. It's just be for a little period of time. Lama Igmalani Melech Gmulaza. Why would you cause this to happen to me? Right? I mean, it's not gonna be helpful for me. I'm not gonna enjoy it. Yeshem Nadacha, let me stay. The Amot Beiri, let me die in my own hometown. Im Kever Avivi Imi, where my parents are buried. That's what I want to stay here in Roglim. I grew up in Roglim, I know Roglim. I don't need to go to Yerushalayim. But, hine adacha kamoham, let me pronounce that. I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Kimham, there we go. Your servant Kimham, which Mitzvah David says is Beno Haya. So, Barzillai's son is named Kimham. Kimham. Hine adacha Kimham, yavar mani. Let my son Kimham Well, clearly, if he's 80, his son's not a young man at this point, but he'll appreciate living in the lap of luxury. Yeah, but let me go with the king, Vaselo at Asher Tov Beinecha, and you should treat him well. He wants to see the lights of the big city. And what I thought was interesting here is this hint with this idea of the Sharim B'Sharot. They have these singers, aside from the possibility, what Sharot means, they're like, are listening to Kol Yisha. We're not going to go into that one. But the idea that David's palace in Yerushalayim was in fact a royal palace. There were luxuries there. We don't see that anywhere. Any hint that David had a sense of kingship here, but clearly somebody, Barzilai feels that that's what's going on back in Yerushalayim. That David's acting like a king in the sense of having fine food and entertainment. Clearly that happened. Right. Okay, so it points out that David himself was a musician, but he clearly enjoyed the music, and they would sit and listen, right? It has a sense of luxury that we don't have from David anywhere else. And that line of Sharim B'Sharot is familiar because it appears one other place in Tanakh, which I know because everyone who reads Sefer Kohelet gets it wrong and tries to say it as Sarim B'Sharot, as in ministers, but it's not Sarim, it's Sharim. So if you're going to read Kohelet in public, make sure you pronounce it correctly. Because that's the point of Kohelet, is that Hashem was describing all the luxury he had. Kaniti, Avadim, Shvachot, the source 15. B'nei Bayat Hayali, I had all these slaves. B'gamik Nebakar, B'tzon Harbe, I had cattle. Hayali Mikol Sheyu, Orphanai Yerushalayim, more than anyone else in Yerushalayim. Kanasti Li, Gam Kesef, Zahav, I gathered gold and silver. Uskulat Melachim, B'midinot, and all the treasures of other nations. Asiti Li, Sharim V'Sharot. That's the line from Kohelet, not Sarim B'Sarot. So you can yell at everybody who says it wrong. I had all these singers, V'tanugot B'nei Adam, and I had all the pleasures of every human being, Shida V'Shido, generally translated as chests or storehouses of them. So the hint of that, now Shlomo, we know we have this image of having this luxurious palace here. Here's a hint that David had it as well, at least in some sense. Again, it's a sign that we haven't seen of David at all. Barzillai is saying, I'm not going to enjoy it. I don't need that. So therefore, you should let my son Kimham go. And so David says, B'no haya, Amar lo, hello, Kimham imanu. He said, yeah, Kimham should come with us. Yavar hu yimach, let him come. Zay yashlum ham gumol. That's how you should pay me back. You want to pay me back? Don't pay me. I don't need anything. Do it to my family. Basoti moach chesed shishaseh. You should do chesed with him. And there's another hint here about Barzillai that echoes an older story. Notice how he's described. He's an ish gadol hu ma'od. That don't sound familiar at all? So if you've been living Shmuel all the time. What?
Mordechai?
Yeah,
but by David, Abigail's first husband.
Bingo. David is paying attention. Thank you. Okay. So, that Abigail.
Navala Kamerli.
Navala, that's right. Way back, the way before David's king, David is on the run from Shaul. He's a bandit leader in Midbar Yehuda. He is offering protection services, or demanding protection money, depending on how you want to read it, from all the farmers in Yehuda. And there's a one person who's in Ma'on, Ish B'Ma'on, Maseo B'Carmel. There's a person who lived in Ma'on, and his work with his sheep are all in Carmel. Again, this is in Yehuda. But Ish Gadol Ma'od. And he was a very great man in the sense of money. V'lot Som Sot Elfim, he has 3,000 sheep, V'Elef Izim, and 1,000 goats. And it was at the time that he was shearing the sheep. B'shem ha'ish Naval. Okay, that's Naval. B'shem ishto Abigail, and his wife was Abigail. V'ish tovat secha, and the woman Abigail was really smart, b'fatoa, and beautiful. V'ish kasha v'ram olim, and the guy was harsh and did bad things. Who killed B, and he was descended from Caleb, so he was from the Yehuda's leading families. Let me know the story. David goes and says and demands that Naval provide for all of his men. They're hungry, and Nabal says no. David decides he's going to kill them all, so Abigail comes and brings, again, a donkey, just like we saw Tziba with the donkeys laden. Abigail comes with donkeys laden and says, don't pay attention to my idiot husband. Those are the words she uses. Here, take all this and please don't kill us. Okay, it's an echo of that past. And this is an interesting point. Okay, again, we're seeing that just that phrase there brings us up. So we have Nabal, who's the Ish Gadol, who's kasher, doesn't feed David, and we have Barzillai, who's an Ish Gadol, who does support David. Again, echoing back, almost closing the circle here. We're at the end of Sefer Shmuel. And this is the Mishpatat Zaha brings us. B'hinei Sefer Kohelet Yaakov. Hevi et Divrei HaRizal. So this is what the HaRizal says. Shekatav Shebarzillai Giladi Haya Gilgul V'tikun Shel Nabal Karmali. That Barzillai was a Gilgul of Nabal Karmali. He's coming to undo the damage that happened with Nabal. Because Nabal didn't want to give him any food, so Barzillai is providing for David. Okay, that's why he's bringing this relationship, Barzillai is bringing the story, tell us that Barzillai supports David and David supports Barzillai in response to that. That's basically as a takana, as undoing what happened with Naval. Oh, that's why it says that he's gadol. Now, clearly, I don't know what Gilgul and reincarnation means literally. I have no idea to understand that. But clearly can't be literal, of course. Remember, Barzillai is 80 years old. David is 66 years old. But clearly, Barzillai was born before Naval was born. We can't imply anything about reincarnation. This is a literary reincarnation. The text is bringing Naval back as the anti-Naval. Here are two different Ish Gadols with money. And it's bringing closure to that story in Shmuel Aleph. It's making us remember the story. Because that story was the foreshadowing of Bathsheba. Right? Abigail was the Navi of what was going to happen with Bathsheba. Do you want to read as a Nevuah, or do you want to read as a literary foreshadowing? Because this is a story in that way back.
Yeah, because he wanted to take her right away and she said, no, wait.
Right. So the wording there is what I'll pick up on. Here's a story with Abigail. This is again back in Perek Kaf Hei. Again, this is 40 years earlier. About 40 years earlier, when David is going to Nabal. Vater Abigail David. So Abigail comes with all the food and sees David my maher. Vater Imel Hamor. She jumps down from her donkey. Vati Pel Lape David and falls down before him. Al Panah on her face. Vati Shachu bows down. Ares bows down before David. Falls onto his legs. Batomer, be Adoni Ha'ava. Please, the fault's all mine. But the bear not him amatecha baznecha. Let me talk to you. Ushmat divrei amatecha. Listen to what I say. Al natasim yasim Adoni et libo ala ish habilial hazeh. Don't pay attention to that worthless man. Al Naval. For my Naval, ki kishmo kein hu, because he's just like his name. Nabal Shmo and Nabala Imo. His name is Nabal and he is a Nabala. He's a dead man. He's a fool. Bani amatcha lo ra'iti et narei Adoni. And it's my fault because I didn't see your people come to our house. Asher shalachta that you sent over. If I had seen them, I would have provided them. Please don't kill us. And here's the food, etc. Then she says, V'yaki yaseh Hashem l'Adoni v'kol asher diber. And when God does for you everything that God has said, David has already been anointed as king. He's not king now. He's saying, this will happen to you. You will be king. All the good that God has promised, he's commanded you to be the ruler over all Israel. Let this not be a stumbling block. Let this not be a sin before you. For my master, to spill innocent blood. Save yourself. This may make you feel better now, but it's not going to be when you're king. You can't do this sort of thing. This will be a bad thing in your history if you go ahead and slaughter the people of Yehuda. Don't do it. Ve'hitiv Hashem l'arani, God will do good for you. Zachart et amatecha, and then you should remember me. This is the point where she kind of hints about maybe you should marry me. We talked about that in the story of Abigail. But the idea when he says, Lo tia zot l'chal kukal u'machshol, this should not be a stumbling block. Gemara says, Amrla, she said to him, Lo tia zel l'chal kukal. This should not be a stumbling block. Zot, this should not. Nechlad ika achriti. You see that she's hinting there is another time. Uma nehu, what is it? Masa de Batsheba. This is Batsheba's coming. That what you're doing right here, where you're going to kill him and then take me as your wife, that's where this is all heading. Don't do it. And more than that, as a sense, again, you can read it as pshat, as foreshadowing, or as a sefer nevuah. This is a nevuah. She is a neviah. She's saying, this is coming to you. And this example that we're looking right in front of you, this is kind of a prophetic act that makes the nevuah real. This is coming. This test is coming to you. Don't make the same mistake.
Danny, the word Nagid, I know means ruler, but where does that word come from?
I don't know. It's from Neged, opposite.
Yeah, but I wouldn't consider that royalty.
What you translate as prince usually. Okay, and that's Umaskana Haki Havi, and the end, that's exactly what happened. David doesn't learn the lesson that Abigail is trying to teach him.
Abigail is one of the seven Neviot.
She's one of the seven Neviot who are listed.
And this is her Nevuah?
This is what the Gemara says was her Nevuah.
Oh.
And she goes to David and says, this is coming. I mean, she doesn't take the name Batsheba, but she said, basically it's read as saying, this is coming. This situation that you're seeing me, beautiful woman, husband who's married, there's a right way to do this. And that is, my husband will die and you can marry me and et cetera. And we had to talk about the Yibum aspect of that as well. That's appropriate. Doing it by murdering my husband, that's not the right way to do it. In a sense, we're closing the circle. Right? We're
supposed where do we see in the words that there's some future peace coming? She's saying, don't do it now.
Right. So the way the Gemara reads it is, lo yikia zod l'chal buka. Let this not be a buka, nechlal v'ika achriti, the way the Gemara puts it. That there is another one there. That's the way the Gemara looks at it. Don't do it now, because this situation will happen again. And again, even without that, again, from the story is so similar, you can't.
In other words, it's a lesson for David that he doesn't take to heart.
Right. He gets the wrong lesson. He learns that, okay, if I can get what I want because God's going to kill off Naval and I get to marry Abigail anyway. So he figures, okay, obviously Bathsheba is meant for me. I can take her. He learns it wrong. This is another aspect of that closing the circle. The passage of Tshuva that, again, he can't very well support Naval. Naval's dead, but now he's supporting Barzillai, the other Ish Gadol. So that's what the king says. Kimham will come with me. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will let him be great. Whatever you choose for me to do, I will do for you. Fine, Barzillai, I will support your son. So now, Vayavar, Kol Amet Yarden. Now everyone crosses the Jordan with the king. Amelach Avar, the king crosses over. He's now in Gilgal. Vayishak Amelach Barzillai, and he kisses Barzillai, Vayavarchehu, and gives him a bracha. Vayashav, come on, Barzillai goes back to Roblim, back to his hometown. And that he keeps this promise. We see that in Sefer Melachim, in that final last will and testament that he tells Shlomo, like Rui made David Lamut, they sabit Shlomo ben Oyel Emor, and this is from Malachim. Livnei Barzillai Giladi Taseh Chesed. Continue to be good to the children of Barzillai Giladi, Vayu Ba'ochle Shulchanacha, they should eat at your table. He supported me when I ran away from Avshalom. That's an interesting bridge. Rabbah says that Amar Bar Yudin Chamisha Pamim Katuv Bnei Katuv Barzilai, that the public says five times Barzilai, Barzilai about all in this whole story here. Bnei Chamisha Chumshe Torah. I mean, it's midrashic. I say that's coming. L'amdecha kol mi shehu machil prusa l'tzadik, that if you support others, you get you for others. Ki'ilu makayem chamisha sifrei Torah. That's an aspect of the power of tzedakah, that you will be rewarded as though you have kept the entire chamisha chumshe Torah. The cute statement will end that, and in the sense that we're these three little vignettes as David comes back. Hayom, today is the day that I became king. Because Abigail is trying to teach David the meaning of Malchut. About being a king is, it involves not killing everybody that stands in your way. That's an important lesson. She doesn't get it until right now. You got it wrong about Sheva, I've taken this long. So that's why I say, today's the day becomes king. Halo yadati ki hayom ani melech Yisrael. And that's where we are now. Now we get to start Sefer Shmuel, even though we're almost done. He's got another 3.5 years to live.
It's not a very big commitment, though, just to bring this guy to his household and let him listen to music and singers and stuff. I mean, is he making another commitment to him?
I mean, supporting his family. I mean, supporting his children. I don't, yeah, you're right. It's not that big a deal, especially if he's already rich.
Right.
But I think it's supposed to be symbolic that David is now going out, both with, he's going to exhibit his tzedakah with Shimi and forgive Shimi. He's exhibiting mishpat by dividing the estate of Shaul with Tiva and Mephibosheth. He's doing all this mishpat tzedakah they're supposed to be doing from day one. These are all little, yeah, that's what I'm saying. These vignettes, the sense of closure, that this is what David's supposed to have been doing all this time.
Does the text say what tribe Barzillai Giladi is from?
So Gilad was one of the sons of Manasseh.
So he's from
Manasseh,
right. Yosef, and the children of Rachel. So it's right. Sort of like doing a chesed to the northern kingdom.
Yes, all
whereas
these.
Whereas the other guy, what's his name? Naval HaKarmeli was from Yehuda.
That's true. Right. So yeah, I mean, again, it's part of that idea that he's trying to bring the Yosef back into the fold, try to keep the kingdom from splitting apart. I think we should stop here. 10:07 already, and we'll continue on.